beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owner, management, staff, sponsors of the station you're listening to. And, of course, we invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hopefully, we're trying to get Bob Barr on the line. He had promised to be with us this afternoon, and apparently we're not going to be able to get him on the line, so we're going to have to do open lines again this hour, which is it's just one of those things that happens this time of year when people have lots of demands on their activities. So if you have a question or comment you'd like to bring up here, why, we'd love to hear from you. But we were going to talk today with Bob Barr about the Patriot Act and about the danger of this massive expansion of government control over the lives of the American people under the justification of fighting terrorism. But the question is, are we really fighting terrorism, or are they using the threat of terrorism to justify establishing a fascist society in America? Now, people say, oh, well, that could never happen here. And I would ask, why couldn't it happen here? After all, there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned its back on God, where God has not brought eventual judgment of that on that nation. And people don't like to think about that aspect of it. They like to think about things logically. But you see, there's very little that's going on logically in the world today. So we do hope that many of you out there, if you're listening to this program, will give serious consideration to what we're going to talk about. Do you really think that the Patriot Act is patriotic, or do you think it's unpatriotic? Do you think that we should expand the power of the government over our lives and give up our freedom in the name of fighting terrorism? When our government refused to do anything about the terrorist movement, when they knew that it had been here at least since 1988, and those of you who doubt that really need to get the video Jihad in America. Now, this video has been suppressed for many years, and the reason it was suppressed is they didn't want you to know the truth. But it has film footage, and I assume it was shot by the FBI, because it's very good footage, and it starts in about 1988 with a man named Abdullah Azam coming to Oklahoma City and talking there about the coming jihad in America, talking about how blood was going to have to flow in the streets, how they were going to have to cut off hands and feet so Allah would have legs to stand on. And, then in 1999, of course, 1989, why Abdullah Azam was executed, I've always thought, well, the CIA probably did it, to actually put Osama bin Laden into a key position. But whether I'm right or not, that's just conjecture on my part. We do know, of course, that the CIA did bring the blind Sheikh Omar Rahman to the United States, although he certainly was a known terrorist and known terrorist leader. But if you read the book the correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, Unholy Wars, and it was written long before the 9/11 attack. He talks about how Rahman was over there in Egypt. He was agitating. The Egyptian government put him in jail, and it almost appeared like the CIA got him out of jail, and then this known terrorist was allowed to get a visa to come to the United States to begin preaching hatred in New York. And, of course, he was the one who was behind the first World Trade Center bombing, and, of course, then they had a plan to blow up a lot of other things there in New York City. But why would the CIA have brought him here to this country? The book is Unholy Wars by James Cooley, works for the Christian Science Monitor, a very important book. And we, of course, have many references to this in some of my early newsletters dealing with what happened on that fateful day, on the September 11th, 2001. Wow. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, are the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. Now, today we're not going to have a guest. Our regularly scheduled guest was Congressman Bob Barr, but he's not going to be able to be with us. So it's going to be you and me, and if you're out there across America listening to us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're here in the Central Coast of California, our number is 464-8295. And so give us a call if you have a question or comment, you agree or you disagree. But we were talking about the Patriot Act. That was to be the subject for this hour. And Bob Barr has been one of the great champions opposing this Patriot Act, which was passed immediately after the 9/11 attack. Now, you cannot understand really what led up to this unless you understand that many of the provisions in the Patriot Act passed immediately after 9/11 were pieces of legislation that the Clinton administration tried to get through after the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. And when Congress wouldn't go along with that, well, we had to have something even more spectacular to force Congress to pass the legislation. They weren't even allowed to read the legislation. They were terrified because of the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. They were terrified because of the anthrax attack. They were just told, sign this. If you don't sign it, you're unpatriotic, because this is the Patriot Act. Well, it wasn't patriotic at all. In fact, the Patriot Act basically undermined both the Fourth and the Fifth Amendments to the Constitution, and in the name of fighting terrorism, we were going to take the freedom away from the people here in the United States. Right now, we've got Elizabeth calling from Maryland. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. I, too, share your concerns about the coming police state and the Patriot Act. And as I was looking into U.S. News and World Report, November 22nd, they had an excerpt from Nathan Sharansky, the leader of the dissident movement in the former Soviet Union. And I thought I'd just run a little quote by you and see what your take is.
All right, fine. You just sort of hold that for the time being.
Certainly.
Because we're going to have to bring the rest of our stations on board. And then, of course, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to get that quotation out. But, of course, freedom is lost when good people do nothing. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our regularly scheduled guest for this hour was Congressman Bob Barr, who now is actually, they managed to get him out of Congress by redistricting his region. They hated Bob Barr because he was one of the leaders of the effort to impeach President Clinton, and they were going to get him. And, of course, the Republicans really wanted to get him out as well, because he was one of those dissident Republicans who wouldn't go with rule from the top. He honestly believed he was supposed to represent his constituents, the American people. But you see, that's not the way the government really works. You have powerful people in positions of power and of authority that tell our congressmen how to vote. And, of course, they're well paid and well rewarded if they go along by betraying the populace. In fact, you remember the drug bill that was passed during the last legislative session? I don't know, it's going to cost something like, $500 billion or something, far more than they ever admitted to the American people. And it is simply not going to help the people. It's simply a means of transferring money from the public treasury to the drug companies, which are such large contributors to the coffers of both the Republican and the Democrat Party. But the congressman who introduced that bill, you know, he's leaving Congress. Where do you think he's going to go to work? Why, you'd never guess. I give you 1,000 guesses. You never guess it. Why, he's going to go to work for the publicity company that represents the drug manufacturers. Isn't that interesting? In fact, that's exactly what Professor Quigley says on page 324 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where he says that politicians who are cooperative are always offered very, very good jobs working in industry after they leave Congress. You see, that's how they buy the support of our congressmen. And if any of you in the listening audience honestly believed the corporations gave $200 billion to George Bush and about $200 billion to John Kerry just because they liked them and they thought they were nice people and they didn't expect to get something in return, why, I think you're terribly, terribly naive. This is how the system really works. But of course, the Patriot Act was passed certainly by congressmen. They were frightened. They were told what to vote for it. If you didn't vote for the Patriot Act, which was designed not to go after Islamic terrorism, because there's not one word about Islamic terrorism in the legislation. What they've done is they've changed the definition of terrorism. Anybody who wants to change our form of government is a terrorist. But what are we talking about? I mean, changing from what we have today or from what we had from the Constitution? Our Constitution limited the power of the federal government. The fascists who led both political parties want all power centralized in Washington, D.C. They want to be able to do whatever they wish. And the tragedy is they're being allowed to do that. And the American people are not incensed at all. Most of the congressmen simply go along to get along so that they will get large donations from the corporations, from the leaders of both the Republican and the Democratic Party if they vote the right way. And if they don't vote the right way, why, the party will run against somebody against them in the primary with unlimited funds. And if they can't raise funds, they have no hope of being reelected. That's the way the system really works when you turn from being a republic to a democracy. So right now we have with us on the line Elizabeth from Maryland. Elizabeth has a quotation. Elizabeth, why don't you pick up from there?
Yes, I might have a couple points here. And just going with what you said, the power of the sphere, this is Nathan Sharansky's quote from a new book apparently he has written. The power of a sphere society is never based solely on an army and a secret police. As important is a regime's ability to control what is read, said, heard, and above all, thought. This is how a regime based on fear attempts to maintain a constant pool of true believers.
And of course, that's what we really have in America today, where we have five mega corporations that dominate all of the major media in the United States. And that's beautifully covered in a book called The New Media Monopoly. It came out in 2004, written by Ben Bekdakian, who is professor emeritus of the School of Journalism in Berkeley. So they control our media. They control what people think. And anybody, of course, who doesn't go along with them is immediately demonized and, of course, relegated to the extremist or, the kook feel. That's what Rush Limbaugh does. Rush Limbaugh, anybody who thinks that there is a movement to create a world government or to limit our freedom, he calls them a kook. But then, after all, Rush Limbaugh is the finest conservative that money could buy. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
And you know how this brainwashing, as you say, comes so much through the media. Then Sharansky mentioned that on his first trip to America, he met with the publisher of Random House, Robert Bernstein, who he says was a vociferous critic of the Soviet human rights record. And he asked Sharansky whether people in the Soviet Union could freely enter bookstores and buy books. And Sharansky says, quote, at first I couldn't believe he was serious. Then I understood that he simply had no idea how a fear society worked. I explained to him that we were free to go in, but the books were not. And don't you think there's a lot of censorship going on, Dr. Sand?
Well, of course there's censorship going on. For instance, I mean, the American people are never allowed to hear, for instance, that 100,000 Iraqis have been slaughtered over there. Iraqi soldiers, Iraqi civilians, and not a word of that. In fact, if you go up on the Internet and you type in Iraq civilian casualties, why, of course, you'll get the official CIA figures. Those are the ones that Osama bin Laden used in that the video he put out just before the November election. Osama bin Laden used the CIA's figures of 10,000 Iraqis killed. But if you go to Google and you type in Iraqi casualties 100,000, you'll see the articles that are being published throughout the world, 100,000 Iraqi casualties, civilian and military. But we can't let the American people know that. They'd feel very uneasy to realize that they had gone along with this. Now, of course, the people who voted for John Kerry thought that they were opposing the war. They didn't understand John Kerry, who came from the same secret society George Bush did, and he was going to continue the war just like Bush was going to continue the war. We really weren't given a chance. There were other political parties, there were other alternatives, and they were never mentioned by the media.
And there were some other stunning figures I heard today, Dr. Stan, from Lorraine Murray, that there were 518,000 veterans now who were ill over the last decade or so from the Gulf War.
Well, now, I think that that may be somewhat, 500,000 is really, there are only 600. I think that's way inflated. I think you really need to be very, very careful with those figures. There is a report that came out from an independent government commission in September of this year that suggests maybe up to half of the veterans are ill with Gulf War syndrome, but I don't think it's 580,000. So you got to be careful you don't increase that number, and you have to be very careful of your source of information.
Yes, and, you know, whatever the number is, it's far too many. And the depleted uranium, that issue, I just feel so bad for the coming generations, the young men and the young women. What is going to happen to them?
Well, I think that, of course, I'm even more worried about the immunizations that they're giving them, the experimental immunizations with squalene in them. And, of course, this provokes an autoimmune response and ravages their bodies. And really, there's this new book. In fact, you had sent me a copy of it. It's called Vaccine A. It is one of the most important books, and we'll be doing some interviews with the author. And, of course, we'll be offering that book. It goes into the fact that they experimented. They did a mass experiment with our boys we sent overseas, and about half of them, at least, all we really know is what this latest commission report comes out. It points out, I think, that the British veterans, about 65% of those who went to the Gulf are ill. Of the Kansas veterans, in one group, about 45%, and another group, about 55%. Of the New England veterans who went there, and of course, these are the groups that they can analyze, about 65% of our American boys were given experimental vaccines, and they're ill, and they're dying. And, of course, the government is simply lying. But they lied about Agent Orange. They lied about the weapons of mass destruction. They lied about the LSD experiments. They lied about what they did, the Tuskegee study. They lied about the plutonium, poisoning orphan children in orphanages as they fed them plutonium-laced porridge and wheat. Wheaties, why should we be surprised that they would be lying to us today?
No, it's your brotherhood of darkness. And I believe that things are coming more and more to a head. And I was so pleased on our local station at WKDI, where we support you greatly, to have heard you interviewing Dr. Shavid with very, very important precautions that every family should know about, every Christian family. And if they have any responsibility to each other, they will tape your programs and get that information out to their Christian friends.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to just keep you on the line, but we've got a couple of other people calling in. But you hang on here, okay?
All right.
All right, fine. And so let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Do you have a comment you'd like to make or question?
Yes, I'd like to on C-SPAN this weekend, there was on the book reviews, there was a Judge Napolitano who is he's one of the commentators on Fox News.
Right.
He just wrote a book about, and the name of the book is Constitution in Crisis. And after he wrote this book, I don't know how long he'll keep his job on Fox anymore, and much longer, but it's a very, he explains just exactly how this Patriot Act won, and now this new reorganization is actually Patriot Act 2.
You're talking about the new intelligence bill. Yes,
yes.
Of course. Basically, they know the American people would object to Patriot Act 2, so they just changed its name. They call it the Intelligence Reorganization Act, but massive extension of the fascist power of the federal government. They can come in and they can search you without a warrant. They can sneak into your property when you're not there and steal things. And, of course, there are no restrictions. And remember, there's not one word about Islamic terrorism in this legislation. You've got to read the legislation, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand, they talk about Islamic terrorism, but that's not what this is all about. If you read the legislation, you show me where there's any reference to Islamic terrorism. Anything else, Fred?
No, I just wanted to let everybody know that this book should be very fascinating. It was a very fascinating interview that they had with him.
All right, fine. Well, we'll try to do the same thing. If he's honest, why he won't remain on Fox. If he's a Rush Limbaugh, why he'll probably get a promotion.
With this book that he wrote, I doubt if he'll be on there much longer.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course the people say, well, but I would have nothing to worry about. I mean, just the government's expanding their control. Oh, yes, they're putting video cameras up every place so they can watch us. Oh, yes, they're tapping our telephones, and they're tapping our emails, and they're tapping our faxes by the echelon, and they have the satellites up in the sky, and their purpose is to watch the people. And yes, they can track every telephone call I make, they can track where my car is, but as long as I'm a law-abiding citizen, I have nothing to fear. I'm sure that Jews in Hitler's Germany felt the same way. I'm sure that the Christians, you know, we talk about what happened in Hitler's Germany, about the 6 million Jews, but when was the last time anybody ever mentioned the 12 million others who were died in the concentration camps? Why don't we ever talk about them? If you want the reference on that, the book is Warrant for Genocide by Professor Norman Cohn, a Jewish scholar, and who is primarily concerned about the Holocaust. But in the beginning of the book, in the foreword of the book, and we could provide you the pages if you need it, he talks about the 12 million others. How could it be in a country with freedom of the press, we never talk about the other 12 million who died in the concentration camps? Are they unimportant because they're Christians and they were predominantly Christians? Because Germany was predominantly a Christian nation and Europe was predominantly a Christian continent. No longer. When the people found that their ministers had lied to them, their ministers compromised, and their ministers told them to go right along with the government, they were preaching Romans 13. Oh, Romans 13. We have a wonderful book. It's called Hitler's Cross. It's written by Erwin Lutzer, who's the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And he talks about how they used Romans 13 to get the German people to go along with the Nazi regime. Oh, you're just to love everybody and do absolutely nothing, and when they're carting the Jews off, why, that's all right. After all, we're a nation of laws. And when they came for the Catholics, that was all right. After all, we're a nation of laws. And as Martin Niemöller wrote so well, and when they finally came for me, there was nobody left to be concerned. So don't think just because you haven't done anything, you probably are a thought criminal. Maybe you believe in the Constitution. And if you don't believe that they feel that that makes you a terrorist, you go up on my website and look at the FBI directive that went out in 1999 saying if you believe in the Constitution, you talk about the Constitution, you're a potential terrorist. And you should be reported to the local FBI, my website, RadioLiberty.com. And then maybe you're a Christian. You believe in the validity of the Scriptures and the Holy Scriptures. Whether you're a Catholic or Protestant, doesn't matter. You are probably a thought terrorist. You probably object to the agenda of the New World Order. The homosexual agenda. You probably, are going to be a potential troublemaker.
Dr. Stan, yes. I have a little update on that, I think.
Go right ahead, Elizabeth.
A few months back, there was a congressional delegation, and I know Representative Wayne Gilchrist from Maryland was one of those, and this item appeared in our local paper, the Eastern Maryland Star Democrat. So this delegation met with some businessmen and some Christians in Jordan. And they agreed that their biggest dangers, their two biggest dangers, were the fanatical Islam people and the right-wing fanatical Christians in America. When I saw this, I was really stunned, because doesn't this indicate a great degree of demonization beginning against Christians?
Absolutely. And of course, you know, I heard a minister recently say, well, no, after all, yes, we went in there under false pretenses into Iraq, but now we've opened up the country ready for evangelism, and Christianity can spread in Iraq. You know, it's amazing how foolish, intelligent people can be. The Christians are fleeing Iraq. There are about 10% of the population over there that is Christian. They're all leaving because they know they have no hope at all in this new, wonderful democratic regime we're going to bring to power. They're fleeing for their lives. They burn their churches. And ministers here in this country are saying, isn't it wonderful? Now we're going to have a democracy in Iraq, and the Christians, we can preach the Christian gospel. Now, they are preaching it up in Kurdistan, that part of the country, the gospel can be preached. But if you think it's going to be preached in the Shia or the Sunni areas, you're sadly mistaken. Go ahead, Dara. Did you have something else you wanted to
do? Well, the people over there know the reality that they are living in a fear state. And Sharansky made another comment that I think is interesting. Eventually, these people that you're talking about are Christian leaders who seem to be very self-serving and in the reprobate mind. They're going to learn something. Sharansky says that this brainwashing can't last forever. The day-to-day life of a fear society cannot be made palatable forever. Eventually, bitter experience belies the propaganda so that not even some of the people can be fooled all of the time.
Well, they should have done a pretty good job of it here in the United States. I mean, they've mobilized the Christians to back this war, to back the man who brought us into the war, under a lie, under the fact that John Kerry was so much worse. Well, they both were bad. I mean, the thing, we had no alternative. And until the American people understand that both political parties are controlled by exactly the same people, that both George Bush and John Kerry came from the skull and bones, which is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, you can't understand anything going on. I want both you and Daryl, who's calling in from Pennsylvania, to hang on, will you? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Elizabeth Caverly. She's called in, kind enough to call in from Maryland, and Elizabeth does her own program there. And we've got Daryl hanging on the line from Pennsylvania, and I'm going to let him have a little something to say, and then of course we'll get back to Elizabeth. Daryl, do you have a comment that you'd like to make?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, several of the things you said. Number one, you mentioned RadioLiberty.com, and I would urge everyone to go up on that website and take a look at the great newsletters that you do. You mentioned Hitler's Cross, the book by Erwin Lutzer, and that you carry that at Radio Liberty. And I have that book, and I would urge everyone to get that book, because I feel that what's coming on America, as Yogi Berra said, it will be deja vu all over again. We're going to experience the same thing of, I believe, unless a lot of people wake up, many people will do as they did in Germany, and as you know, Martin Neumuller's famous quote will apply here, that most people will do what we blame the German people for doing, not speaking out and standing up and stopping the Nazis. I just got in the mail a couple days ago the intelligence special from Radio Liberty, and I just want to let everyone know that that's a great deal. I'm very interested in the CIA and the FBI, as you know, Dr. Stan, and that one area that I haven't done a lot of research in is the connections of the CIA and the FBI to the mob. And you have two great books there, Double Cross by Sam and Chuck Giancano, and Deadly Alliance by Ralph Rinaldi. And I just, again, everyone, I'd urge you to get that. It's got three tape sets in it, and I listened to, it's worth it just to hear the two taped interviews that Dr. Stan did with Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. And I just think that's great. And you mentioned Gulf War illness and Agent Orange and all that, Dr. Stan. And I did I was keynote speaker 2 years ago at the local American Legion, and I gave a talk on the betrayal of America's fighting men, and I covered a lot of those areas, and you could have heard a pin drop in there. And Dr. Stan, can I tell people a website that they could go read that newsletter?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I think it's so important, because we have betrayed our men, and you do carry a lot of material on the POW, the Prisoner of War Missing in Action issue. But if they'd like to read that newsletter, it's on a website called calltodecision.com, and that's two as in T-O, calltodecision.com, and look under Tackling the Tough Topics, and it's called The Betrayal of America's Fighting Men. It was my Tackling the Tough Topics number 22. And Dr. Stan, I can't thank you enough that you have carried books like Into the Buzzsaw, that got into, I believe, what was it, Monica Jensen Stevenson?
Right. Hold that thought for just a moment here.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Daryl calling from Pennsylvania, and he's just talking about some of the books he's read that we carry that he thinks would be important for you to have, and which I would certainly agree. And he was mentioning a book we call Into the Buzzsaw by Christian Borgensen, and it has essays there from Monica Jensen Stevenson, who wrote two books. One was, of course, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and the other was called Spite House. The first book was called back by the publisher. They would not distribute it. They gave Monica the rights to the book. She moved to Canada with her husband, William Stevenson. They actually got a publisher up there to publish the book. And then somebody came in and bought up the publisher and accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye. So, you know, of course, she writes an essay for Into the Buzzsaw, and then, of course, Gary Webb, who wrote about the CIA and, of course, the involvement with the drug smuggling. In fact, his charges led to a GAO investigation of the CIA that came up with the conclusion the CIA was involved in drug smuggling. But of course, nobody heard about it because this report was just by coincidence released the same day that the Monica Lewinsky scandal was to be released. And so what do you think the media covered? Well, they certainly didn't cover the CIA and the drug smuggling. They covered Monica Lewinsky because this was much more salacious. But of course, is any man safe when the CIA is involved in drugs? Well, of course, Gary Webb this last week died, at least according to the paper. He committed suicide. There were several wounds in his head. I wonder how many of the people in the audience believe that you're going to commit suicide by shooting yourself several times in the head. Now, we, a friend of ours that we're going to be, is going to be checking the body. Hopefully, we already has the information that there's more than one gunshot wound. It suggests that maybe Gary Kaw, who was very critical of the CIA, didn't really commit suicide at all. Do you have anything else you want to say, Daryl?
No, Dr. Stan, just urge everyone to get, if they can, a copy of your tremendous latest Radio Liberty catalog, because you do carry so many great materials on so many have so many great books, videos, and audio tapes, and special information packets where Dr. Stan, where you have like $90 or $100 worth of materials that they can get for about $60-$70. So it's a great deal to get great information, and God bless you, and thank you for all you do, Dr. Stan.
Can I say something to Daryl before he leaves?
Sure, yes. Go ahead.
Daryl, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time. You hail from the neck of the woods I come from in Bedford County, Pennsylvania, and you epitomize to me what the older soldiers were and the people of Western Pennsylvania who stood up during the Whiskey Rebellion, and I want to compliment you on your fine work in the newsletter for Call to Decision, too.
Well, thank you very much. And it does. And I think Dr. Stan feels the same way I do. It just breaks your heart that we send our troops all over the world. We give them experimental vaccines. We expose them to depleted uranium. And then when the war is over, we leave them behind, or we bring the ones that do get back, have to fight the Veterans Administration for 6 or 7 years before they even get a fair hearing. And it's a crying shame.
It's tragic.
All right, fine. And my producers just point out the person who died this last week was Gary Webb, not Gary Kaw. Gary Webb. So he had written, and Crest even has an essay in that book, Into the Buzzsaw.
Dr. Stan, what I heard is that he supposedly shot himself twice in the face with a .38 special, which is, it's almost impossible. So God bless you, Dr.
Well, Steve. We'll have more information on that for the keep tuned into our station. God bless you. Thanks so much, Daryl. And with us is Elizabeth calling from Maryland. And Elizabeth has her own radio program back there on a station there. And how much time do you spend on that program every week, Elizabeth?
Oh, quite a bit. Right now, we're on daily after Alex Jones's program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And on Saturdays, we're on right before your program.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your help in keeping our program on that radio station. We do get a fair good response from Maryland. So what you're doing and what Alex is doing and Joyce Riley and the other people, we each play a part in trying to awaken the American people. Do not believe a thing you read in the newspaper. Go up on the Internet, check the facts. Remember that the CIA, the intelligence agencies, at least the dark side of the intelligence agencies, are planting misinformation and disinformation. Ordinarily, you can find the truth, but sometimes it's very carefully concealed, as I gave the example. If you want to know the Iraq casualties, go to Google and type in Iraq civilian casualties or Iraqi casualties, and you'll get one figure. Type in Iraq casualties 100,000, you'll get an entirely different figure. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to feel guilty that our tax dollars are being used to slaughter the Iraqis and to antagonize and inflame the entire Islamic world against America. There was a great deal of goodwill of the Muslim people towards America. We were the country, we were a Christian country. They may not agree with Christianity, but they felt we were a moral country. We've lost our moral high ground. And why? Because our leaders have a different agenda. They've okayed torture. And one of the people who has come out in favor of torture is the man who is to be our next Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. Go up on Google, type in Alberto Gonzalez, military lawyers, and of course you'll find the military lawyers are objecting to Alberto Gonzalez, because we have never had anybody who said it was all right to torture our enemies, and to send them to countries where they would be tortured horribly. To get them to confess to anything. How can you out in the listening audience possibly go along with this? Are you incensed, or have you lost any sense of indignation and outrage? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
And any of that torture will eventually come back to the Christians and the others who love freedom. And in Nathan Sharansky's article, there's one more quote here that seems to just fit with what you were saying. Even those who genuinely do hate America do not necessarily hate free societies. Rather, part of their hatred is due to the perception that by supporting the non-democratic regimes that are oppressing them, America is betraying the democratic values it claims to uphold.
Well, of course, we're supporting Musharraf in Pakistan. He's a dictator. We're supporting Mubarak in Egypt. He's a dictator. He gets 99% of the vote every time. We're supporting the dictatorial regime, in Qatar and in Saudi Arabia and in Kuwait. We're right now supporting Gaddafi in Libya, and we're talking about democracy. Go ahead.
And our Christian values are disappearing.
And of course, this is the problem, is that where is the outrage from our Christian leaders? They're all solidly behind George Bush, because after all, he's a Christian leader. I'm not questioning George Bush's Christianity. I don't know what he believes in his heart, but I will tell you the people who surround him are evil and wicked. And he becomes responsible for what they do. And if he doesn't have the courage to stand up against Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and Liddy and the other people from the Project for the New American Century, then he's not fit to lead this country. So go ahead.
I come back to what you always say, that we're dealing with the powers of darkness against the powers of good. And I think that as a true Christian, one has to take a stand. One has to fight the evil. I don't see how a person can just be self-serving and go on and feel that all this prosperity and ease will last, because it can't last.
Well, God always brings judgment upon nations that have turned against him. And can anybody doubt that America has turned against God? I mean, look and see what they're teaching our children in our schools today. And where is the outrage from the church? Every church should be a school. We need to get our children, our Christian children, out of the government schools. The best thing we could possibly do would be to shut down the government schools. In the year 1800, we had a 95% literacy rating, and we did not have a public educational system. Today, we have over 100 million Americans who are functionally illiterate. That didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent.
Everything is a long conspiracy, isn't it?
It certainly is long range, but behind that is, of course, the master deceiver, who is Lucifer himself. And there are Luciferian organizations, and all you need to do is go up on the internet and look up Lucifer or Luciferian organizations. Look up Rosicrucians. Look up Theosophy. Look up the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Look up all of these organizations. They are all Luciferian in their background. And yet the average American has no idea. Masonry had its origins in Luciferianism. And the leaders of the inner circle of Masonry have openly bragged about how Lucifer is the great architect of the universe. And yet, of course, 6 of our last 12 presidents have either been Masons or have been affiliated with Masonry, and I'm excluding George Bush, who has never been a Mason. He just happens to belong to the secret society Skull and Bones, which is so secret, when asked about it during the last election, he said, "I can't talk about it. It's too secret." And that's essentially what John Kerry said when he was asked about it. These two buddies, these two friends, are laughing at one another and with one another at how they've hoodwinked the American people.
And Dr. Stan, I think one of your most vital interviews recently was with Reverend Ted Pike, when he said, "We had this winter yet to alert all the Christian churches about the hate crimes law, because it will be coming really against us." And I just think that all your listeners need to pray and take some action.
Well, they need to pray and they need to take action. Prayer is not enough, and taking action is not enough. You need to do both. But God is not going to bless our venture unless we're worthy of it, and I don't see that much worthiness out there. I mean, we see a lot of people saying all the right things, but when push comes to shove, why they do the wrong things. And, you know, the fact that we had a Christian candidate running in the Constitution Party, it didn't matter that he wasn't mentioned by the media. The good people wouldn't back him because they were so manipulated by their... by the Christian organizations. They would all send out these election, these election rolls, and they would, pro-life, pro-family values, and the Republicans are on the right side, the Democrats are on the wrong side. They're trying to make you think there's a lot of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Well, if the Republicans were really pro-life, they would have, we're in the majority. They control the Senate. They control the House of Representatives. They control the presidency. They could stop abortions in America tomorrow by an executive order, and you would make a majority of the House and the Senate to override that, and the president could simply say the Supreme Court had no right to make that decision. There's nothing in the Constitution, anything about abortion. This is a matter to be dealt with at the state and the local level, and of course fight it out there. Maybe you want to be in a state that is totally corrupt and immoral. You can either fight it up or you fight that, or you can move on to another position, another state. But what happens when the entire nation is corrupt? Then where do you move to?
Yes, there's no will. There's no integrity. And today I heard another interview with Michael Markavich, the person from Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, who had been reading scripture pertaining to sodomy in the town council, and he was ejected forcibly from that. Then he and a group of Christians peacefully went where there was a gay festivity going on, and they walked down the sidewalk. They first asked whether they were able to walk down this sidewalk. They sang hymns and read scripture, and they were greatly interfered with, but they're facing felony charges now, possibly 47 years in prison. And this is a very gentle sounding man. I believe he is a minister, and he was asked today on a talk show on your network on Genesis whether big Christian leaders had shown him any support, and there was none. Where are the Dietrich Bonhoeffers?
Well, of course, most people don't want to end up like Dietrich Bonhoeffer did, and you certainly don't want to make yourself subject to criticism. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but let me suggest that everybody in the listening audience seriously consider or ordering Hitler's Cross by Erwin Lutzer, who I think is one of the great ministers of our time. And, of course, if you hear in your church all about Romans 13, we are simply to obey the government no matter how corrupt it is, no matter how many people it may be slaughtering, no matter what it may be doing to our own voice, God put the government in power, and I would like to suggest that you read his book and find out how they preach Romans 13 in Hitler's Germany. I believe we are to obey God, not to obey government. But the whole idea, the people in control want you to obey government, and they want you to do it blindly. Our government was supposed to represent the people, not to represent the people who can come up with $400 million to get this whole facade of a presidential election through. I mean, how many people can really run an election? It takes $200 million, as it costs to, I think closer to probably $250 million for Bush, and probably about $200 billion for John Kerry. He didn't spend all of his money, so he can use it to back Democrat candidates. But in the final analysis, it really doesn't matter which party you have in there. The Republicans are spending far more than the Democrats ever did. The Republicans are increasing the power of government over our lives more than the Democrats ever did. The Republicans have a bigger trade deficit than the Democrats ever did. And they all say, gee, we just don't know how this is happening. Well, we're going to do something in the future to get things under control. You just trust us. Ladies and gentlemen, there isn't going to be a future. The dollar is dropping. People are investing. Americans are pulling their money out of this country and investing in foreign countries. And with that will come the demise of the dollar and the collapse of our economy. And at that point, don't you worry. The government has a plan to regulate every aspect of human endeavor in the name of course, preserving our freedom. Elizabeth, we got just a couple of minutes. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, I think of my late father, who was a devout Christian, who took a moral stand all his life and I think of how a miracle occurred when he lay in the coffin, something like Corrie ten Boom's sister in The Hiding Place. He looked 45 years old, and I know that I follow his example, or I try to, and I think that times are coming in which we will feel good if we gave it our all, and I know that you give it your all. You're trying to help God's people. You might not be a famous celebrity minister who has made millions of dollars writing books, but you are giving of yourself 5 hours every day, and the wonderful expertise. These books are wonderful. I want to say that. You know that we ordered about $1,000 or more of books earlier this year. We haven't had time to read all of them, but I'm really looking forward to Hitler's Cross, and some of the other books are just wonderful. So I want to thank you for your ministry, and I want to say that I believe that in the years to come, we are to help those who are entrusted to us. Whatever times come, we must learn about the survival items that you talk about and carry. We must read, we must understand, and we must do our best.
Well, that's all we can be asked to do. But I think that we do our best. We realize it's God's battle. We're called to be involved in this battle, not to sit idly on the sidelines, as so many people are doing. And remember that admonition, that Dante, who wrote The Inferno, had said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your position? Are you backing the Republicans? Are you backing the Democrats? Are you backing what's right? And you're going to take a stand and realize that both political parties are being manipulated by the members of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the information. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the Brotherhood of Darkness. And Elizabeth, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling in and getting us through this hour.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just simply mention that we do carry the Big Berkey products. We carry the Sanzian radios. We carry certainly the Miracle 2 products, and we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum, among other things. But we have lots of books and four tape sets and videos we produced. We got a great new video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. Now, admittedly, it's me just talking. It's the talk we gave at the conference, but there's a lot of great information. It actually comes with the program, the information that we had, the summary of my talk, so you can follow it along and get the sources of reference on the pages that we'll send along with it. Called None Dare Call It Genocide. It will give you tremendous insight into what's happening how they are poisoning our children. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning our children with the mercury and the vaccines. Why do you think they want all the six-month-old to take a vaccine shot when there's no evidence it's going to do any good? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just point out, have you ever seen any sort of a propaganda campaign like they're putting on now to get everybody to take their influenza shots? Well, maybe last year they had that same thing. Oh, we're running out of the influenza vaccine. You better run down and get it. And it was all, it wasn't because it was going to do you any good, because it didn't do you any good, because it was the wrong organisms. But it was all had to do with the profit for the people who made the vaccine. And the Public Health Service promised they would stampede the people into taking the vaccines so they wouldn't lose any money. And now, of course, suddenly they found they've got all sorts of vaccine and people aren't getting it, and they're going down and saying, oh, you've just got to get in there. Why, if you don't take it, why, there's going to be vaccine that goes to waste. Well, I would like to see it all go to waste. Why? Because, first of all, there's no evidence it's really going to help. They say, oh, we need it for the older people because they don't have an immune response. Well, if they don't have an immune response, you're not going to be able to help them by giving them something that is supposed to build their immune response, because they're not in a position to build an immune response against it. But Dr. Fudenberg is the dean of vaccinologists in America, and on his web page, his name is Fudenberg, and if you want the abstract, we'll be glad to send it to you from his web page if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And on his web page, he tells you if you are between 60 and 65, and you take 3 to 4 influenza shots over a 5-year period, at the end of 10 years, your increase of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000% because of the damage to your brain. Why would they do that to our older people? And why would they be trying to get 6-month-old children to take a vaccine that has a mercury in it, toxic doses, terrible doses? I mean, there's a toxic doses for the elderly. What do you think it does to a 6-month-old child? We're dealing with organized evil, ladies and gentlemen. When you understand that, it all begins to make sense. You need to get our 4-tape set on mercury and the video we have, Sweet Misery. Uninformed consent. Uninformed consent. You need to get our 4-tape set on aspartame, because aspartame affects the minds of people and leads to progressive neurological disease, and the video that goes with that called Sweet Misery. You need to get our 4-tape set on fluoride. You need to get the books we have, like Chris Bryson's The Fluoride Deception. That's The Fluoride Deception. Or Russell Blaylock's excellent book, which covers not only fluoride, but the problem as far as mercury and aspartame, and really wonderful health suggestions, things you need to know that you're not going to get from other sources, health and nutrition secrets that can save your life. So, and then, of course, if you want written information on aspartame, a poison that is in so many of your foods, and they know it's a poison. In fact, for 17 years, the FDA fought putting this allowing this into food, until Donald Rumsfeld in 1960. Donald Rumsfeld, the man who was so concerned about our troops over in Iraq that he won't even see that they have adequate equipment or enough troops there. Donald Rumsfeld was the CEO of Cereal, and he used his political clout when Ronald Reagan became president, and he put his man in charge of the FDA, and they rammed this thing through. And of course, not once the FDA had accepted it, there was nothing they could do about it. And they've been poisoning the people ever since then. You need to get, of course, the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. You need to get the Aspartame Disease, The Forgotten Epidemic. That's over 1,000 pages by Dr. Roberts. We have all of this information. If we're not telling you the truth, you've got nothing to worry about. If they're poisoning our children's brains and lowering their IQ with fluoride, you ought to know about that too. If it's going to lead to premature aging and infirmity, you need to know that. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, that's our November newsletter, which deals with the fluoride deception, with the fact that they are poisoning our children, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Check the facts. I mean, we document everything we have, and you can get the reports, you can get the books, you can get the studies. We have an interview with the vice president of the union of the scientists who work for the EPA, who are frantic trying to get the truth out, and you're not going to hear it because the people who control the media, label anybody who's against water fluoridation as being a kook. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty and pray for our ministry.